All right. Well, hello, everyone. It is November 20th, 2018. I'm speaking with Chad Milner today. And how are you, Chad?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So first I want to ask, how did you first get involved with the Young People's Project?
So I was an algebra project student in middle school. That was my involvement in the Alliance Network. And this was in the early 90s, late 80s, and went off to college. And when I got back, I worked as a math teacher, and I also did some work in the technology sector. Then in 2006, I came to YPP for our first NSF informal science education grant, which was focusing around building out our training network and expanding our work to additional program cities. So that's when I came on board, and I worked initially in Boston, helping to build out the Boston site and also supporting the trainer of training cohort model that we worked on during that time. And from there, I've transitioned into a role with the central organization or national organization. I'm mostly focused on sort of operations, but then also media, communications, technology needs, as well as in the interim working as a, or serving as a PI on a coding literacy grant, which ran for about 3.5-4 years. So that's been my main entry point and involvement up until now.
Got it. So what is it like launching a site as you did in Boston?
So it was really interesting, very dynamic process. I'd say there's a lot of sort of traditional, I guess you might say traditional community organizing elements where you're just trying to identify like who your constituency is in the city, like how does that align with your mission and your vision. So for us, we're really looking at servicing kids who are performing at or near the bottom quartile, which when you look at the sort of metrics on a national level, that compromises a pretty big percentage of the Boston public school students, at least it did at the time. So that was sort of a broad population. So then from there, it's kind of trying to figure out strategically which neighborhoods and areas you want to start with. So we did a lot of that type of work, looking at what strategic partners you might want to work with, whether it's at the university level to try to establish relationships with college students, at high schools to recruit high school math literacy workers, which is an important part of a model, and then also for outreach sites. So typically those are going to be after-school programs, extended day programs, community centers, YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs. So just trying to fit all those pieces together and figure out where they're going to kind of physically be located in the city, and then what services you need to sort of, and staffing you need to build around that in order to have a successful program.
Well, great. So you served as the National Director of Programs and are now the National Director of Media and Technology. What is it like coordinating with local organizations with unique needs and to achieve goals at the national level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think part of it is like thinking about what the different needs are for different types of programs. So for instance, YPP has typically 2 to 3 cities that it works in directly as part of our, under our 501c3 umbrella. And traditionally, those have been Greater Boston, Chicago, and Jackson. So those type of sites sort of have one level of engagement and connection to the central office or central organization. Then we typically have some university-based programs. So those are either directly or loosely affiliated with a college, such as we've had programs at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Florida International in Miami, and then out in Carbondale where you are, with SIU and now Murphyville and Edwardsville.
Mm-hmm.
So those are sort of another layer or type of site. Then we've also had some community-based sites. So in New York City, we worked with a housing development called, or an organization which lives inside of a housing development called the West Side Commons, or Commons. So that's sort of another example of a different structure for a YPP program site. And now what we have emerging is this Flagling League, which encompasses some of those original types of program setups, but there's also places such as in D.C. where we just did a training, and you know they're kind of working through the Washington Teachers Union, and that's sort of the entryway to you know how we will develop teams that will compete, practice, play Flagway, that feed into the national tournament and network. In Idaho, similar situation, although not with a teachers union, it's with a big picture learning school. So I think just having the flexibility to think about what the needs of those different types of program partners and communities are, and how that can feed into kind of the overall vision and mission for YPP's work. And then how that then kind of can sit and relate to this emerging national alliance that we've been talking about for a couple of years.
Yeah. Okay. Could you describe your experience with working on the project Bridging Math Literacy and Digital Media Creation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that project started actually in, I think, 2009. It was an NSF iTest Division Award, and the goal of it was to look at, you know, how can we sort of translate our program model from working traditionally with math literacy to broadening it to a sort of coding STEM environment. For this particular grant, we focused in on coding, and we used a particular coding language called Scratch, which was built developed at MIT, and this was pretty early on in its life cycle. It sort of has evolved since then. And we focused on three YPP communities. We worked here in Boston and Cambridge. We worked in Carbondale in Illinois. And then we also worked in Mississippi in Jackson. And those also represent three very different sort of demographic communities, and when you look at the spectrum of the type of students that are involved in YPP, so Greater Boston is more urban, Black and Latino, some immigrant students as well. Carbondale, as you know, is a little more rural or semi-suburban, larger number of white students, and then Jackson is Deep South. Urban, but sort of urban sprawl, and almost 100% African American. And so that was really great to kind of see kind of what some of the kind of subtle or less subtle differences were in terms of population, and also just having different staff members who are not connected work on the same content gave us some insight into kind of what worked, what didn't work, how was it working, kind of what were the nuances there. So that program ran for 3 years. We learned a ton, and we're still, learning from that. We've incorporated coding into a lot of our core programming now. One of the high school students, actually, that was a participant in Boston is now our Greater Boston Site Director, Cliff Freeman. So, again, there was some sort of level of organic growth there too as well. Overall it was a really great opportunity, and it was very relevant, and in some ways it's really become even more relevant, particularly in communities like Boston and New York and some of the in DC, where a lot of the economy here has shifted to fact, there is a tech workforce now that is occupying the working class and the professional class here. And so we're really trying to get students tapped into that who live in the cities and grew up here. So I think that the bridging math and digital literacy was really our first foray into that type of work.
Well, great. That sounds very exciting. So you started off by talking about how you were a student who had Algebra Project curriculum. How did that experience as a student with the curriculum, how's that impacted or shaped your work with YPP now as a facilitator or director?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's given it a type of continuity that I haven't seen in other parts of, well, my own personal life, but then also just in other nonprofit spaces or education spaces. There's there tends to be these sort of micro cultures around, like, say, 2 to 3 years, or you might get a 4 to 5 year cycle if you're looking at, say, high school or middle school or even college, where, you know, there's this piece of work that happens within that time period, which, you know, is an important time period, particularly for young people with, you know, who are growing up. But there's also not sort of this long game that you see with the YPP Algebra Project and Associated Alliance. So I think I sort of experienced that firsthand, and thinking about kind of what does it mean to be a student going through this process? What did it mean to be a young adult kind of having had some other world experiences and, you know, kind of coming back into it and saying, okay, well, now what does it mean, you know, at this point, now that I've, you know, quote unquote, made it through, you know, I've got through those hoops, like, what does it mean to kind of, what have I learned from that? And, you know, what can I kind of contribute to the next generation coming up? And then now, as, you know, getting sort of into more of a elder age professional, we'll say elder, you know, I think it's kind of how do you kind of continue to say, like, where can this model evolve and this community be strengthened, and, like, community of practice. And so I mean, I think for me, it's been very informative. I think that, again, the biggest, I think, element of it for me has been this, the idea of continuity, that, you know, this is sort of a sustained effort that, you know, is not perfect in every moment, is not, you know, 100% effective, or, you know, however you want to measure or talk about it, but that just in sort of its commitment is doing something that I think is unique in terms of how this country looks at education and at, you know, youth development or community development. So, again, I would say that longevity of just sustained effort, you know, and that's not even including kind of the work that came before YVP and the Algebra Project, which,
sure,
you know, Bob was involved with. And I think just for myself, kind of coming from, you know, 12, 13 to now 39, 40, like, that's, like, seeing, like, oh, this is what it looks like to watch a generation or generations kind of evolve. And here are some of the challenges that persist, and here are some of the external elements that change, whether it's, like, political or economic, but that I think I can see now a little bit more, like, why older generations, like, just how they see the world, how they see the similarities and the differences, and sort of the need to have this type of work going on.
Yeah. So that may lead, that probably leads into my next question, which is, what have you found most rewarding in working with the Young People's Project?
So I think I've touched on, you know, some of that, but I'd say just the ability to watch students kind of ability to see them, like, through high school and college and sometimes further, kind of how the work impacts how they see themselves, not just around math, but just around as leaders, organizers, and students, and role models. So I think, like, I really, that's a really powerful thing to see that. So I've enjoyed that.
And then conversely, what has been your greatest challenge in working with the Young People's Project, and how did you deal with that challenge?
Yeah, I think a lot of the challenge comes from being in a very unique space. And I say that in the sense that we're not an institution, we're not a school system or a city government. We're also not a church or a university or a school, but we're sort of working in that same space around that intersects with institution, and so I think it's like we're creating the road as we're going, and having, for instance, sustained resources. So we say we have a 10-year plan. I mean, nobody really talks in those, it's kind of like, hey, here's some money for 2 or 3 years. Can you get this needle to move from A to B? Oh, great, you did it. Now we're all kind of on to the next thing. And so I think that has been a challenge in terms of just, how do we find our place in the larger kind of space of institutions and entities that don't necessarily think on the same time frame that we're on. I think that's kind of been one of the main challenges, I'd say, that we face.
Okay. And then the last question I have prepared is, how do you see the National Alliance and its member organizations challenging educational inequity and living up to the promise of We the People?
Mm-hmm. I think the Alliance and YPP, we're asking for a ground-up approach to the problem, and so we're saying, hey, we agree that the educational system in particular in this country needs to evolve, it needs to change, it needs to impact the students on the bottom who are not being serviced currently, who are not, who might be, you might do this one thing or this, and they might get through this test, but just overall, there's like hasn't been a lot of movement on and their ability to live up to and live into these meaningful careers or full citizenship, as sometimes we reference it. I think, the opportunity for the Alliance and what we're really saying is that, A, we want to do that. B, we want to actually work with the affected communities and the affected young people who we say we're trying to have a positive impact on. So we want them to take a leadership role in solving the problem and on working on these challenges. I think that's, I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that's a great answer. Yeah. Well, that's what I had prepared for today, Chad. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about your work with YPP?
No, I think that was good. Yeah. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. This has been a great conversation, and I look forward to sharing it